Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to those sitting in the pews this morning, and welcome to anyone joining us online, and a special welcome to members of East Lancashire churches. There are three churches in East Lancashire who are listening in this morning. They're Chorley, Paddyham, and Rawtenstall. My name is Bridget Spain. I'm the minister of the Unitarian Church here on St. Stephen's Green. Just to say something about the church and the congregation, the church dates from 1863, but the congregation traces its history to the mid-1600s. If anyone did history in school, we were the dissenting Protestant tradition. Dissenting Protestants were radical reformers who believed in total freedom of conscience in all religious belief. And that emphasis on freedom of conscience about what we believe is something still at the heart of this congregation. We believe that all religions, when they're properly lived, are valid spiritual paths. This morning's congregation is scattered throughout Ireland, it's scattered throughout the UK. So let's just take a few moments to come together as a community of faith, knowing that we are searchers of truth, and that we are united in a spirit of love. So we begin with our opening words. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is its sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge and freedom, to serve humankind in fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow in harmony with the divine. This do we covenant with each other and with God. The flaming chalice is the symbol of Unitarianism, and this morning we light our chalice with these words. In the flame of this chalice, we find the light of faith, the glow of hope, and the warmth of service. As we kindle our own lights from this spark, may we ever grow in faith, hope, and service. Congregation here do enjoy singing hymns, and that's one of the things we really miss. So these are the one verse from the hymn Josh has just played. Find a stillness, hold a stillness, let the stillness carry me. Find the silence, hold the silence, let the silence carry me. In the Spirit, by the Spirit, with the Spirit giving power, I will find true harmony. Let us pray. And this first prayer is a responsive prayer. And the response is, we are all children of God. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are all powerful beyond nature. Response: we are all children of God. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? actually, who am I not to be? We are all children of God. Our playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightening about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around us. We are all children of God. We are meant to shine like children do. We are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us, the glory that is in everyone. We are all children of God. And as we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. We are liberated from our own fear. Our presence automatically liberates others. We are all children of God. Now we join together to say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. It's a tradition in this church that a member of the congregation does one of the readings. They choose the reading. I have no idea what our reader is going to share with us today, but our reader is Frank Kelly.
Friends, Carja. The paragraph I'm about to read is from a book by Michael Meagan, and it's called All Will Be Well. Meagan was born in Liverpool to Irish parents and studied in Trinity College. He moved to Kenya after his medical studies and lived and worked with the tribe's people in the Rift Valley. He founded a charity called iCross to relieve the suffering of people who were starving, and particularly those with HIV/AIDS. He actually contracted several major illnesses whilst in Kenya and was given the last rites 3 times, but survived and went on to adopt 2 orphaned children. Parts of this book are hard to read, as Meagan graphically details the suffering of those in his care, those dying of AIDS. But he didn't lose hope. He found meaning, purpose, and hope in the service of his fellow man. Each of us has a precious gift, a potential, a reason. The true wonder of the world is available everywhere, in the minutest parts of our bodies, in the vast expanses of the cosmos, and in the intimate interconnectedness of these and all things. We each have so much to give, so many talents. Each of us is so blessed if we could only see it. It is only when we live out and give that love which is inside of us that we actually awaken and become who we are, part of the mystery, part of each other, and part of the hymn of the universe. This spiritual journey, indivisible from caring for each other, is the purpose of our lives. To love and celebrate each other as one. The secret is usually hidden only because we stand with our backs to the light while it is shining on us all the time. Thank you.
In the good old days BC, before COVID, we used to have children attend this church, and hopefully we'll have them again. And I hope there's some children or people who are children at heart happy to hear our children's story. A disturbing fact about the world is that the world is divided into two groups. In developed countries, the greatest threat to health now is being overweight. And in the other parts of the country, people starve or they're malnourished. Some people got together and decided that maybe they could do something about this. And what they noticed was that in the developed world, where everyone was already overweight, another problem that we have that we probably don't even recognize is that we throw out a lot of the food that we buy. Not only do we throw it out, but restaurants throw it out, shops throw it out. And it's estimated, I just looked online, that families in Ireland, I'm not talking about restaurants and shops or anything else, just families, waste about €700 every year throwing out food that they believe is wasted. Anyway, the group of people got together, and I think there must have been Unitarians because they were very democratic. They decided that they would ask everyone to join in looking for this solution to the problem of people dying from hunger. And again, they decided, let's be scientific about it. We carry out a survey and we'll ask people for their suggestions how to solve the problem, because they know that it's always better when people buy into the solution. So they put together a questionnaire that had only one question on it. And this was the question: would you please give your honest opinion about the solution to the problem of food wastage in parts of the world and food shortages in other parts of the world? That's the only question on the survey. And the results of the survey began to trickle in, and they couldn't wait to open them. And they saw a pattern emerge, and the pattern showed that the survey did not work very well. Because then the ones from Africa came in and they asked, what was food wastage? They didn't understand what they meant. The results that came in from Eastern Europe wanted to know what an honest answer meant. In Western Europe, the responses that came in was asking, what did food shortages mean? The Chinese results came in, and the general trend in their results was, what does having an opinion mean? They came in then from the Middle East, and they wanted to know what a solution meant. And then, of course, the Americans, being Democrats, they filled it in as well, and they wanted to know what the rest of the world was. As well as being the theme to the Vicar of Dibley, that is also one of our favourite hymns. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. For my reading, I have chosen a piece, and it's from a book called Heart to Heart, and it's by Alicia Hawking and Margaret Robinson. And this piece is called Deep Listening, and it begins with a quotation from someone called Margaret Wheatley. I believe we can change the world if we start listening to one another. Simple, truthful conversation where we each have a chance to speak and each feel heard, and we each listen well. We listen to other people a lot. We listen to pass the time, to get information, to be entertained. We listen waiting for our turn to speak. We listen because people expect us to listen. Most of the time, when our intention is to be helpful, we don't listen deeply. We think we're listening, but we're spending most of our energy thinking about what to say, things that are encouraging and insightful. And we're often surprised when our helpful commentary and the sharing ends, when the speaker says, "I don't need you to solve my problem, I just want you to listen." Why is it so difficult to just listen? Perhaps it is because we have a hard time believing that it's simply our presence that helps, rather than our thinking or our advising. Our open hearts do the healing rather than our carefully chosen words. But most of us haven't experienced this. Physician and author Rachel Naomi Raymond says, "I suspect that the most basic and powerful way to connect with another person is to listen. Just listen. Perhaps the most important thing we ever give each other is our attention. When people are talking, there's no need to do anything except to hear them." This does not mean that listening is passive. It's hard work to listen with an open heart rather than an analyzing mind. It requires putting aside judgment, categorization, and evaluation, and instead just hearing the story that is told and the feelings behind it. Some people say that they feel themselves shift from their minds to their hearts when they are listening. Some describe deep listening as being a sacred experience. It is the mind's nature to think, and so even the most experienced listeners repeatedly will slip into judging and analyzing. When you realize this has happened, gently set aside your thinking for later and open your heart. Buddhists and others who meditate face this problem constantly, and their advice is that we treat the mind like a beloved but sometimes inappropriate child who wants to show off in front of guests. "Not now, dear," says the kind parent. "You go and play and we'll join you in a bit." Similarly, when we are listening and notice that we are commenting to ourselves about what is being said, we can tell our minds, "This is not the time for analysis. I just need to hear this story." Most people need a few experiences of simply being listened to before they can really believe that just listening is enough. In time, we discover that to be listened to is a way of being loved, and that listening in this way is a way of loving. Let us pray. And this prayer will be followed by a time of silence and it will be brought to an end by a piece of music played by Gavin. Lord God, maker of stars and galaxies, whom we know as love, help us to recognize the love that surrounds us and in which we have our being. Help us to be the loving people we are meant to be, knowing that as children of God, we are all deserving of love. In silence now, we bring to our mind's eye the people who have loved us and continue to love us. We remember people who are not with us today, but whose love we carry with us. People who are there every day, but whose love we sometimes take for granted. We remember people who are lonely and those who are sick in mind and body. Now we extend our circle of love to embrace people whose names we may not know, but whose work contributes to our well-being. The shopkeepers, the electricity workers, health workers and carers. Finally, we extend our circle of love to those to whom we dislike, the people who annoy us, people who have hurt us. We include everyone because we recognize our common human frailty and our need for love. And we extend our love beyond our circle to embrace all living things. May the love and the peace of this community be in us and in the world today and in the days ahead. The title of this morning's address is Deep Listening. Human beings are exceptional in our ability to communicate. Like other animals, we communicate with our body language, but we also use speech, and we communicate through touch. We exchange letters and connect through works of art, theatre, and dance. And we use drama, film, and music to tell our stories. In the past few decades, technology has revolutionized communications. There's email, Facebook, Instagram. We Skype, tweet, we Zoom, and we all, of course, carry the mobile phone. Thanks to the generosity of the Unitarian Tim Berners-Lee, who invented the World Wide Web, we have free access to an infinite amount of information. So modern communications have shrunk the world at no great cost. We can chat with somebody who's on the other side of the world, and we do this. The flip side of this coin is that we are being deluged with information, and most of it is trivial, and some of it is actually damaging. And even when we disregard the trivial and the damaging material, I think there are fewer people who believe that they are more deeply connected with other people. This overload of technology has made many people feel even more isolated than ever. And many believe that they are exceptional in feeling this isolation. And the truth is that loneliness is endemic in our culture, and loneliness and isolation have grown during the pandemic. That is one of the things people missed, was seeing someone, giving them a hug, and just being with them. Mental health wellness is one of the great challenges for modern society. Having a close, supportive relationship is the greatest contributor to mental health wellness. People who are surrounded by people who love them have the best chance of being mentally well. The most difficult of life experiences are more easily endured if there is someone or some few people who care for us, and that we know that they care for us and love us. These individuals are not able to change our life circumstances, but their presence will always sustain us. Communication, however, is a two-way process. It's not enough that information or facts are made public. For communication to happen, we need to know that somebody hears. And as somebody wisely remarked, the fact that we have two ears but one mouth is nature's way to highlight how important it is that we listen, that we just stop talking some of the time and listen to others. An American educational writer called Parker J. Palmer wrote, "The human soul does not want to be fixed. It wants simply to be seen and heard." The soul doesn't want to be fixed. It wants to be seen and heard. When we think of the world now, science has shown us the extent of the universe. We see fabulous pictures of galaxies and galaxies. And in the vastness of space, each of us seems an absolutely microscopic, insignificant dot. It's easy to feel unimportant, to lose our sense of identity, to feel invisible and overwhelmed, even to feel that our life here on Earth is pointless or worthless. We all need to be heard, hence the deluge of communication. If we believe we're not heard, we will become disruptive or even maybe depressed. The explosion in online bullying, which is such a problem now, is a symptom that the senders feel unheard, that they are alienated from their community and from their souls. Bullying is a symptom of pain. And that's not to excuse bullying, it's to explain it. Because someone who is happy and fulfilled does not bully. A week or two ago, I was reading The Guardian on a Saturday, and the agony aunt had an article in it which I found very interesting. And she was saying that when her daughter started school, she was only about 6 years of age, but she came home and she was being very disruptive, stroppy, throwing tantrums. And she said she knew there was something wrong with her daughter. And she was thinking of all the possibilities it could be and thinking up solutions. What will I say to her? If she says this, what will I say? She was the agony aunt. She was the child's mother as well. And she said suddenly she remembered advice she was given. Just listen to her. So she said to her daughter, you know, what happened in school today? And the daughter told her some drama for a six-year-old. And the mum said, instead of giving her solutions, she just said, that must have been very difficult. You must be very upset. And the daughter said to her, it was and I was. And then she went off and played with her toys. All the tantrums gone. She just needed to be heard and to know she was heard. And the empathy. To have empathy, we must really hear the other person. We must listen to what is said and to pay attention to what is not said. And as we heard earlier, listening is hard work. We do listen to pass the time. We do listen, waiting for our turn to speak. If we are honest, sometimes we listen just because it's expected of us, just to be polite. Even with our best intention when we're listening, there are a myriad traps into which we all fall. How often when someone is speaking, do you find yourself thinking and making a mental note of what you will say when it's your turn to speak? I must tell them that. And of course, the death knell for communication, or good communication, is when someone says, you tell them something, and they say, that's nothing, wait till I tell you, you know, about something. Remember, if somebody wants your advice, they'll ask for it. Listening to someone's story affirms their worth. To really listen to someone is love in action. It's making their lives important enough that you listen. Of course, we can only give to others what we have already. If we do not have love, if we do not feel valued, if we cannot value, then we cannot value others. We cannot learn to listen to others unless we know how to listen to our soul. And we listen to our soul through our religious practice, by following some sort of spiritual practice such as meditation. When we listen to our soul, it's not to fix our life or change what has happened in the past. We listen to our soul to hear and maybe even heal our own story. The word listen and the word silent are made up of the same letters, just in a different order. Human beings are more than just bodies. We are spiritual creatures. And we need to pay attention to our soul. And it is in silence that we get to know our true soul or our true self. all the religions, every one of them teach that God is part of our human nature. And God is not up there somewhere in the sky. We encounter God, the divine, whatever you want to call it, within ourselves in the quiet of our own soul. When the soul is neglected, it doesn't just go away. It makes its presence felt in obsessions, addictions, violence, and in feelings that life is meaningless. They're all common symptoms of modern living. What's the point of this or that or the other? The modern response to these addictions, obsessions, or feeling depressed is to go to a therapist or to go to the doctor for some medication to mask the symptoms. We want the therapist to fix us. Or we look for someone to blame. That's very common here. The Buddha said that our sorrows can be healed when we touch them with compassion. That's really important. Our sorrows can be healed when we touch them with compassion. Not judgments, not medicines, not ways to change them, just with compassion. When we listen to our soul, we hear and acknowledge what is happening there. We don't try to avoid the issue, we just listen. We listen to our soul and we treat ourselves with the same compassion we would show a friend who is distressed. Very often we can be good friends to other people, but not a good friend to ourselves. You know, if somebody does makes a mistake or something, we don't call them foolish idiots, you know, worthless. We say, oh, sure, that happens to everyone. Just try again or whatever. We're not so friendly and kind to ourselves. We don't try to change the past. We don't anticipate the future. We will accept that there will be things we don't understand. But the most important thing is that we listen with compassion to ourselves and for ourselves. In the Jewish scriptures, the Old Testament, as we may call it, the book of Kings tells how Elijah met God. It says, first there was a very strong wind that tore through the mountains and broke the stones apart. But God wasn't in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but God wasn't in the fire. After the fire, there was quiet, and it was in the quiet that Elijah encountered God. We live in a noisy world where we are bombarded with information. All our lives, we're told that success means owning more. From childhood, we learn that a good education and wealth will make us happy. We rarely hear the message that the most important things in the world are firstly our connection to our own soul, that we care for our body, our mind, and our soul, and that the second most important things are our relationships with other people. We're never told that the greatest gift we can give to others is the gift of our time, and that really listening to someone is one of the most powerful forms of healing and love that exists. Amen. I'm going to do the blessing now. May the love that overcomes all differences, which heals all wounds, which puts to flight all fears, which reconciles all who are separated, be in us and among us, now and always. Amen. Now we'll have our notices. Thank you to Gavin for the music and Josh as well, and to Frank for the reading and for our flowers. Everyone is welcome to join us on the web camera at any time. We're here every Sunday at 11. We don't have an offertory today, but there is a donation box on the way out, and it's possible to make a donation online. And thank you to anyone who can help us with that. Our refugee committee has resumed its work, so we're back that we're at the stage where refugees are going to be brought into Ireland, some from Syria and some from Afghanistan. And we are financially fairly okay, but we're looking for accommodation. And this is where we're going to need everyone's help to make contact with somebody who's renting a property. We would need it for 2 years. It's somebody who must be willing to take a HAP payment. But you get a guarantee of your rent every month for 2 years, and that the house will be given back to you in good conditions. Now, that's a lot of information to take in, but there's a leaflet on the table outside if you want to take it. We do need our benevolent landlord to come forward now. There's copies of Oscail's magazine for August available online, and there are also other magazines on the table out there, Inquirers and NSPCI magazines. Do an act of charity and give some of them a home. Wednesday lunchtime meditation, 1:05 to 1:35, it's open, the church is open, and it's available online. And the book club, this month they're meeting on the 1st of September, 6:45 for 7 p.m. on Zoom. And this month's book is Death and Nightingales.